So these words we hear from Jesus in the gospel today, a little context for them. They're very layered and there's a lot going on in them, but it begins, the whole chapter where he's saying these things, begins with them walking in the temple and his foretelling of the destruction of the temple. So I want to talk a little bit about the temple today, because it's also a very central and important theme in the scriptures. A very important biblical theme and in the unfolding of salvation history. But especially to understand the temple as a place of covenant, the place of covenant, and the temple is a place of sacrifice. Place of covenant and a place of sacrifice. First of all, place of covenant. So part of the whole reason the temple was built was a place to put the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was the fancy box they made to hold the Ten Commandments and other signs of the covenant that were put in there. And then they built this whole temple, but this temple has all these covenantal themes. That all these things we've been talking about over the last number of weeks. That there was floral and garden themes, like the Garden of Eden, to recall that in the creation. And that there was a large bronze pool that was reminiscent of the flood and the covenant with Noah. And then, as I mentioned, of course, their covenant at Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments was in the Holy of Holies, the central, most important room in the temple. And it was seen as the tangible, the temple was the tangible dwelling place of God with the people. That they knew in the temple, God was present and made tangibly present to them. And also, very importantly, the temple was built over the place where Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Perhaps you remember the story, hopefully some of you remember from your catechism classes, where God had asked Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And so he went and offered him, and just when he was about to offer him a sacrifice, God stopped him and said, "Now I see you are faithful." But the words came up in that story, that God himself will provide the sacrifice. And then there's a sheep whose head is caught in thorns, and they offer him in place of Isaac. Which brings me to the second part of the temple, a place of sacrifice. And of course, in the history of the Israelites in the temple, there were these different sacrifices that were offered. First and foremost, being reminded of the covenant with Abraham. That God instead provided a sacrifice so Abraham didn't have to sacrifice Isaac. And then in the unfolding of salvation history, there were lots of layers of meaning of sacrifice and different types of sacrifice. They sacrificed not only animals, flesh and blood, but they also offered sacrifice different grains and bread that they would burn. Or they would offer a libation, which was a sacrifice of wine, where they would pour out the wine, all in offering to God. And like I said, there were many reasons for these sacrifices, or different types of sacrifices. One was simply in praise and thanksgiving to God, that he gave us all these blessings, and so we offer a piece of that back to him in thanksgiving, and in recognition that all this is gift, that all we have is gift. The sheep that we survive on, the grain that we use to make our bread to live, we offer a piece of it back to God simply to praise him and thank him for all this blessing that he continues to give us. But also, sacrifice was offered as expiation for sin, payment for sin. And some sacrifices would be offered in a way to repay for a wrong done or a sin that was done, to regain reconciliation with God. And we hear a little bit about that in the second reading alluded to in the book of Hebrews. And thirdly, there was also something called a communion sacrifice, where it was an animal would be offered and a piece would be burned to God, a piece would be given to the priest, and a piece would be given to the person offering a sacrifice. And then in a way, and then eating that meat that was offered sort of brought about communion with God. And finally, there was this sort of perpetual offering, perpetual sacrifice, where they would have this holy altar that they would put bread on in the inner sanctuary in the temple. That it was believed that this bread in the temple was imbued with the presence of God. It was called the bread of the presence, or the bread of the face of God. And only the priests were allowed to eat this, because it was imbued, it was a very holy and consecrated bread. So where am I going with all of this? That all of this idea of sacrifice and all these different types of sacrifices that are in the Jewish mindset of that day, Jesus takes all of this up into himself to become the one true, perfect, eternal, and total sacrifice. So to understand Christ, the more we understand all these different types of sacrifices, Christ takes this all up in himself, that his perfect, total, complete self-offering to God is the perfect sacrifice of praise. It's the perfect sacrifice to take away sin, expiation for sins. And it's the sacrifice that brings about communion with God. And that he calls himself the living bread come down from heaven. And he refers to himself as the holy bread, the bread of the presence. So what does he do? But then he imbues his own flesh and blood. He offers his flesh and blood in sacrifice and imbues that with the offerings of bread and wine. In a sacrifice. That he takes all of this up. And how do we participate and partake in this perfect sacrifice of Christ? Well, he tells us. He says, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which is given up for you. Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out, which is poured out for you, for the forgiveness of sins." That all of this sacrifice, that we participate in it here in the Mass, in the Eucharist that he gives us. The Eucharist, the bread of the presence, the bread that is consecrated, that as he offers his body and blood on the cross, he imbues his body and blood into the bread and wine that are offered for the one total, complete, perfect sacrifice. So, Christ gave us this Eucharist so we can share in his sacrifice. That with his perfect praise, his perfect payment for sins, his perfect communion with God, that we can then participate. Full conscious, active participation. That we can fully give ourselves to this, or we imperfectly give ourselves, we imperfectly offer praise to God, but we can tack it on to the perfect sacrifice of Christ. That we imperfectly ask for forgiveness of sins, but we give it to the perfect sacrifice of Christ that is payment for all sin. That we imperfectly seek communion with God and offer ourselves in communion with God. But Christ brings it and takes everything we offer and perfects it. The Second Vatican Council was big about talking about full conscious active participation at the Mass. But full conscious active participation isn't just everyone needs to start running around and doing more things. It's this core idea to fully and consciously and actively participate by fully offering yourselves, offering your prayers for people in the world with this sacrifice, uniting it with that, offering my sufferings, my struggles, as a sacrifice to Christ in union with this perfect sacrifice. Offering my praise to God with this perfect sacrifice. And offering my very self to God to seek communion and love with him. This is the full conscious active participation that each and every one of us are called to. That when the priest gets up at the altar, it's not just for the priest to do his thing while we start spacing out and start counting how many lights there are. Oh, isn't that nice? No, it's for us to consciously listen and pay attention and offer ourselves up on the altar. To offer ourselves. The reason we have people from the community bring up the bread and wine and bring up the gifts. It's not just, again, not just to give them something to do. Because we thought you all were sitting around too much. No. It's symbolic of us offering with that bread and wine, throwing everything in our heart up there on the altar with the bread and the wine. That my sacrifice and yours, that we unite with the perfect sacrifice of Christ, may be acceptable to you, to the Lord, our Almighty Father. Of course, we pray, may the Lord accept this sacrifice at at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church. And this is what we hear, this is what that second reading from Hebrews is all about. That Christ is the perfect priest offering the sacrifice and is also himself the sacrifice. That there is only one sacrifice. We don't re-sacrifice Christ every time we come to Mass. But there's the one perfect eternal sacrifice that Christ then draws us into every time we come. That here is our new temple in Christ. And that we are being formed into a new temple of the perfect offering of Christ, our new and perfect sacrifice. So let us offer ourselves with Jesus in this perfect sacrifice to fully, consciously, actively participate in this Mass by offering everything to his one perfect sacrifice on the cross.